Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. Sometimes people come into our life and it seems as though they're just out to get us. It may even seem like their goal in life is to make our lives miserable. David had a guy like this. A guy was literally out to get him, to kill him. It was King Saul. And David had done nothing wrong. Saul's behavior was completely wrong. There was no justification for it. On our last program, we looked at a story in 1 Samuel 24 where David had an opportunity to stop this madness. Saul was chasing after David in the hot desert area around En-Gedi. One day, Saul decided to take a nap in a cool cave. What he didn't know is that David was hiding further back in the cave. David's men encouraged him to kill Saul while he slept, but instead, David only cut off the fringe of Saul's garment. This is significant to our story because their garments would have knots tied in it to indicate their position and power. Let's now pick up the story and see how this all plays in to understanding God's heart regarding difficult people in our lives.
When David comes to Saul while Saul is sleeping away and he cuts the fringes off, he cuts the skirt off, he cuts the border of the garment off, what is he saying in so doing? Saul, your position, your pedigree, Saul, your power, your authority is now given to me. I am holding this, Saul. I am holding the border of your garment, you see, the skirt of your robe, a whole lot more meaningful, a whole lot more impacting when David held that. And that is precisely why, back to our story, in verse 5, it says, it came to pass afterward, after David cut off this border, this skirt, these tzitziot, the knots, the fringe that we're talking about, it says his heart smote him because he had cut off Saul's skirt. Man, his heart smote him deeply. David felt awful because David knew what he was implying. I'm grabbing Saul's position in so doing. I'm questioning his authority. I ought not to have done that. His heart smote him. And he said, oh, the Lord forbid, verse 6, that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing that he, Saul, is the anointed of the Lord. Wait a minute, David, his boys might say. I would say, David, you're the anointed guy. Saul used to be, but he's been in rebellion against the Lord. Besides, when he was anointed, he was anointed with a vial of oil. Samuel, though, David came to you and anointed you later. Anointed you, not with a vial, but with a whole flask. You're more anointed. You're more freshly anointed, David. Saul's had his day. He's rebelled against the Lord. He's being hounded by a demon. Forget about it. You're the anointed one. And David was. Indeed, Samuel the prophet had anointed David. David did receive a greater anointing physically, tangibly, without question. But you see, what's being said here, listen, listen carefully, tune in, take note, listen up. Because the idea here that David is getting at is incredible. You see, it wasn't just kings that were anointed with oil. It wasn't just kings and prophets and priests. But it was also things like the tabernacle, the altars, the instruments that were used there in the tabernacle for service, the showbread, and a host of other things that were used in servicing the Lord. The anointed, you see, didn't just come upon people, but instruments were anointed with oil too, being dedicated or consecrated to God. What does this mean? Listen carefully. David was declaring, oh, I shouldn't have done this. I shouldn't have touched the Lord's anointed. You see, I might be anointed to be king, David may say, but Saul has the anointing. He is anointed as an instrument of God to do what? To stretch me, to change me, to make me the man that I'm supposed to be. And if we had time, and we don't, we could read the corresponding psalms that David wrote at this time when Saul was tracking him down like a fowler would a partridge. David, his insights into the Lord, his dependence on the Lord, his passion for the Lord is incredibly revealed in the psalms that he wrote while Saul was chasing him down, while Saul was out to do him in. See, here's the thing. David is suggesting to you, David is telling me, that that guy who's throwing spears at me, that guy who has nothing but anger toward me, that guy that wants nothing but bad to come my way, he is God's instrument to change me, to make me into the man that I desire to be. And so too with you, so too with me. We've prayed, Lord, change us. Make us men and women of mercy and grace and kindness. Help us to be dependent on you. Help us to be strong in you. Help us to be used by you. Lord, change us. The Lord says, okay, I've got just the anointed instrument to send your way. That person that really bugs you, that ex-husband that still grieves you, that boss that doesn't appreciate you, those neighbors that are out to get you, those very people are the instruments, the anointed implements in my hand to do the work that you have prayed to get done, John, in your heart. So don't touch him. Don't touch him. Oh, I know you won't lop off their head, because you'll go to jail for that. But you might go for their fringe. You might say, I'll just take them down a peg or two. I know their history. I heard what they said. I know what they did. I know where they've been. And I'm going to get that word out. Oh, it might be very cleverly in the form of, oh, dear brother, we need to pray for our friend because he's done this or she said that or did you hear about the other? And we cut the fringe of their border. We take them down a peg or two. We challenge their veracity. We challenge their authority. We challenge their legitimacy. We are determined to take them down. Oh, we're not going to lop off their head like we would like to. We'll just take them down a notch or two. Azitziat, cut off. Azitziat, taken away. That's what David did. And it smote his heart that day. I shouldn't have even done that. I will not touch the Lord's anointed. And so too for you. Who is it that the Lord has allowed to be in your life that throws spears at you, that brings grief to you? That is the instrument of God, the anointed instrument of God, to work in you a character, a bigness, a love, a kindness like you've longed for there to be. There's no other way for the Lord to do that but to send you a Saul or two from time to time or every day. And the question is, what will I do? Will I cut the fringe? Oh, yeah, but John, my ex, you don't understand. You're going on your anniversary dinner tonight, but you don't know where I've been. My ex needs to be taken down a notch or three. quite frankly. He's mud. He's mud, and you're calling him the anointed one in my life? Anointed schmointed. Let me tell you something. His name is mud as far as I'm concerned. Let me tell you about this. Don't turn there. Just listen to John chapter 9. Jesus deals with the anointed mud. Listen carefully. He sees a guy that was born blind, and when he had spoken, he spat on the ground, and he made clay or mud of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with this spittle and mud. And then he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. Go and wash in the pool that is called sent or sent one. Siloam, sent one. It's a picture of, it's a prophecy about Jesus, the sent one from heaven who gives us living waters. Jesus spat on the ground, put mud in the blind man's eyes, and said, now make your way and go to the pool of Siloam and wash. Well, this blind guy, he went his way and washed and came back seeing that day. Here's the question. I wonder if that blind guy would have went to the sent one, the pool of Siloam, and washed if there wasn't mud in his eye. Would he have said, oh, very funny, Rabbi. You're telling me to go through the city to the pool. I can't see a thing. I'm not going to do that. That's a real arduous journey for a blind guy like me to make my way to the pool of Siloam. You got to be kidding. I'm not going to do that. But you see, with mud in his eye and spit on his face, he would be much more inclined to go wash, guarantee. Mud irritates. The mud in his eye would irritate. The spit on his face, hey, he would say, I'm going to go wash no matter what. I've got to go to the sent one and wash, get this mud out of my eye, this spit from my face. Why does God allow people who we think are mud to spit in our face? That we might go to the sent one and wash again. When everything's going hunky-dorily, I have a tendency to just do my thing. But when there's mud being thrown at me or spit being hurled on me, the reality is it's then I tend to make my way to the Lord in desperation. I tend to go to the Lord. I tend to pour out my heart before the Lord. I tend to then get in the Word again and say, Lord, I need to see because I really don't see things very clearly today. Hey, anointed mud. Yeah, the mud is anointed. That guy that you say, his name is mud as far as I'm concerned, or she spits at me. Hey, the very instrument, the anointing of the Lord to do what? To bring you to the place where you go to the sent one, Jesus Christ, the Shiloh, the Siloam, if you would, and wash again in the water of his word, the anointed one. Interesting. So how am I going to view him, her, them, when they spit at me, or when they hurl mud in my direction? I need to realize, Lord, this is part of your program and plan, and I must not touch them. Why? Because Christ, do you know what Christ means? It's not Jesus' last name. It's not Mr. Jesus Christ. You know that. Jesus is his name. Christ is his title. Christos in the Greek, it means anointed one. What did he do? The anointed one. When Saul's came his way, Judas Iscariot, a worse than Saul, if at all possible, Judas Iscariot came his way and kissed him on the cheek to betray him. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, friend, what seekest thou? He embraced Judas, that act, as an act of friendliness, in a sense. He called Judas his friend right then. What? Why? Because Jesus knew something. That was coming down according to the divine design of his Father in heaven. It was all part of a grand plan that would save you and me. Judas betraying Jesus. Jesus then being sentenced to death and being crucified on a tree. It was all about a divine design. And rather than come down on Judas, that diabolical dude that is doomed and damned eternally. Rather than coming down on him, he embraced why Judas was coming in his way on that night, on that day. Friend, what seekest thou? All part of the plan. And when he hung on the cross hours later, as they spat on him and called his name mud as they hurled their curses at him, you know what he said? Our Lord on that tree said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. He didn't take them down a peg or two. He didn't lop off their heads, calling the angels as he could do. But he simply prayed blessing upon them, showed mercy to them, interceded on behalf of them when he hung on the cross and would say, Father, forgive them. Wow. That's what Jesus did. The anointed one. What am I to do? Well, I'm to walk as Jesus walked. When a Judas comes my way, when a Judas comes your way, and they will, and they have, and they do, we are not to take them down or expose their error. Well, who's going to deal with them then? Our story tells us in 24, David said, Saul, Saul, the Lord will judge between you and me. The Lord is going to sort things out. The Lord is going to deal with you eventually. It's not my job. It's not my place to deal with you in that way. You are the anointed instrument of God sent my way. Where you're wrong, Saul, God will deal with you. And Saul would be dealt with, as we shall see in a later study. And Judas was dealt with, as you know. He's in hell presently. But the point is, that's not for me, David would say. I'm not to touch you. It's up to God to do whatever he chooses to. I'm not to take you down. I'm not to nick your reputation. That's not what I'm to do. And I took the fringe off your garment. And now David would say, my heart is smiting me. I shouldn't have done that, you see. Question is tonight, as we're about to go our way, simply this. What about that person that has really done you wrong? Or that person that bugs you real bad? Or that person that breaks your heart? That person that makes you real sad? What's the deal? What you gonna do? Are you gonna take him down a peg or two? Are you gonna make sure that people know his history, her problem? Or are you going to say, I'm not going to touch the Lord's anointed. I'm going to do what Jesus did, the anointed one. Father, forgive him. Friend, what seekest thou? I'm not going to touch him. It's God's instrument and God's working in me. Well, you say, man, John, that's a tall order. Maybe that's what I should do. Maybe that's what Jesus did do. But why should I? One more verse and we'll be through. I'll read it to you. From the book of Hebrews, we read this concerning the anointing. Listen carefully. In Hebrews chapter 1, the Father is talking to the Son. The Father's talking to Jesus. And he says this, unto the Son he saith, Hebrews 1 verse 8, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The Father calls his Son God. And he says, a scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. In your hand is a scepter of rightness. Listen carefully. The Father goes on to say to the Son, thou hast loved rightness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee, Jesus, because you love rightness, because you want to do right and be right, God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Because you want to be right and do right and are right, the Father would say to the Son, you are anointed, listen, with the oil of gladness above any other fellow. You're the gladdest guy that's ever been and ever will be. The man from Glad, if you're old enough to recall those commercials. Hey, that's Jesus, the ultimate man from Glad. He's the gladdest guy that ever was. Listen, here's the way to be depressed and grumpy. Here's the way to be sad and blue. Here's the way to be dark and mad. Be those that say, I'm going to take that guy down a notch or two. He hurt me. She broke my heart. They disappointed me. And I am going to let people know. I'm going to let my wife know what I think about him on the drive home. I'm going to let my husband know what I think about her when he comes home. I'm going to let people know my view of that guy or those people. I'm not going to lop off their head necessarily. I'm just going to take them down a peg or two. I'm going to deal with their history, their pedigree, their authority. And if you do, I got news for you. To the degree that you do, you will find yourself feeling dirty, depressed, dark, and dank. It won't work. Whereas if you choose to do what's right, Father, forgive them. Friend, what seekest thou? You will be anointed with the oil of gladness. Jesus was the gladdest guy that's ever been. Because you see, he was the master of mercy. And he would not strike back or take people down, as can be our tendency. So what would happen today if you and I were to say, whatever Sauls come our way, Lord, I'm going to embrace it as being an instrument from you to make me a different kind of guy, to make me different than I am. See, I know something about you. You've prayed, all of you, virtually. You've prayed, all of you, recently. Lord, change me. Make me different. I'm tired of the smallness of my soul. I'm tired of the bitterness in my belly. I'm tired of my lack. Lord, make me different than I am. You've prayed something like that in some way. The Lord says, okay, I'm going to send you an anointed instrument. Oh, good. Some preacher, some Bible teacher, some close friend, some buddy, some money. What are you going to do? And he sends a Saul or two throwing spears at you. What? I wasn't asking for that. I want some Bible guy to come my way. Oh, he's not going to help you. This is what's really going to help you, John, quite frankly. A spear headed for your head, or spit being hurled in your direction, or mud in your eye, because that irritation is going to drive you to me, going to give you the opportunity to be different than you are presently. You embrace the anointed instrument, whatever it might be, whoever it might be. You embrace the anointed instrument and say, okay, I'm not going to lop off their head nor touch their fringes, you see. It's your instrument, Lord, and you'll deal with them if they need to be dealt with in due season. But I will embrace and I'll show grace that I might be anointed with the oil of gladness like you, Jesus. That I might have largeness of heart and gladness of heart. Oh, Lord, let it be. Help us to learn the lesson of the cave of En-Gedi and not touch the Lord's anointed, whoever he or she or they might be, in Jesus' name.
That should give us a whole different perspective on certain people, those people who seem like they're out to get us and want to do us harm. They may very well be the Lord's anointed to help us become who we really want to be. They are the very people who will drive us to Jesus so that we can be more like Him. Knowing this, it frees us up to simply love. And in so doing, we can be anointed with the oil of gladness just like Jesus.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com. That's johncorson.com.
The Searchlight Radio program is available as a podcast. This means that you can download the program to your mobile phone, computer, tablet, or other mobile device and listen to it at your convenience. For complete information, please check out the podcast page on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.